Today's date is February 12th, year 2006.
I'll just make a brief comment about some of the gospel readings, because the epistle and the gospel reading also applies to what I'm going to talk about next week, about chastising yourself, about Moses and the people were following all the rituals, but even God was not pleased with most of them. And in the gospel reading, Matthew 20:16, many are called, few are chosen. We're going to get into that. That has to do with preparing for Lent and all the things we need to do to be good Catholics. But that really, I'm going to save commenting on this epistle and gospel till next week, because it applies to preparation for Lent and the things we need to do to be good Catholics. The one little brief comment on here, I think we said it last year even about the person who was given a penny, and one person came and says, hey, I did all this work. It's sort of like the person who converts right before he's ready to die. And then all of a sudden, other guy's a good Catholic his whole life. And he gets jealous, because this other guy's getting the same reward of eternal life, or maybe even the same glory in heaven. And he can't see it. He goes, how could this be? I did all this work. This guy converts 1 month before he dies, and he's almost or equal to me in glory in heaven, and gets to heaven. Well, that's an envious, nasty person. That's an evil person. Like a son who was very jealous of his brother that repented. Well, how jealous? You ought to be happy that your son is lost. Now he's saved. And our Lord even says, if you keep that envious type of an attitude, you don't even get into heaven. You go to hell. Forget equal glory in heaven. Now you're going to go to hell no matter how many good works you did your whole life. Now we're looking at why you were doing those works, to pump yourself up in the eyes of others, because you're envying somebody else's spiritual good. And that person will end up in hell, and the person who converted his death, that'll be in heaven. That really would happen if a person maintains that idea. But you get into, God sees all hearts. We can't judge. Look, you look at St. Paul. Why did he have to work so hard? And so he was the bulwark of the church. But he committed many sins against the church. That was part of his reparation. So while he was doing all this great hard work for God, he understood, and he says it, I need to do this. It's reparation for my sins against the church. Now the Blessed Mother didn't have to do the type of work Paul did.
Right.
She was so pure, God wouldn't dare have her do it. She didn't need to do it. He didn't want her to do it.
Right.
She was so holy. Her soul was so pure and so good. We can't even see how holy and pure and great her soul is compared to even to St. Paul. Okay, now some people might look at it and say, hey, St. Paul did the bulwark of the work over here. He should be better than Mary. No, he's not. He can say, hey, look, I did all this. How come I'm not above Mary? She never went out and preached, got shipwrecked, stoned. No, because Mary was so much greater than you. For one, she didn't need to do any of that. God was protecting her as his most special vessel. We can't see all the graces Mary has obtained for us. Without a Mary, there is no salvation. So God would have said, because of Mary's greatness, because she's never sinned, and because of her purity, I was merciful to mankind because of her purity and her holiness, and her prayers were much greater before me than even at St. Paul's.
See, and that confounds the worldly mind too, because they look at he did all this accident, but Mary led the hidden life,
and
was very devout to God, and
very
had those prayers that, you know, and didn't have to do these exterior things, but
yes.
God seen that the purity of her prayers and
faith
held so much more.
Because the work she was doing was in her suffering and her soul. You don't see it.
Exactly.
You don't see her suffering at that cross. That's a work.
Right.
It's ripping her heart out. To see what they did to her son was a work. It was a suffering. It was a horrible thing. It's a suffering for her maybe to not want to get out there and knock off their heads when she wants to. You know, and she could petition the Lord, Lord, kill this person. He's obstinate now. She does that. She'll do that on the second coming too. But even for her to have to restrain herself, knowing how holy her son is and knowing how obstinate some of these men are, that's a work. In her private heart, in her place, in her sanctuary of God, she's suffering. And she's petitioning God. And she's doing her deeds. And her prayers and petitions to God are so powerful. No matter what we do, God gives us the grace. Me, I love doing what God's given me. It's easy for me because he's given me the grace to do it. How do you compare one thing being easier than the other? It's whatever God gave you to do, you know? And each one has their own part to play within the church. And you always get this competition amongst envious people. The one guy gets angry at the monk and he says, what's this guy doing? He's not doing nothing. He's not coming out here and helping us. He's not beating the pavement. Then you got the evil monks, the evil hermits. Oh, you guys must be always hidden, and you can never go out in the public. Well, what about evangelists?
Yeah, right.
They put down the evangelist because he's out in the world, because he's not keeping the monk's schedule, because he can't keep the monk's schedule. St. Paul, when he had to come out and preach, he was up all night preaching sometimes. I'm praying for God when the time comes to give me that strength. I don't have it. But I guess when God wants me to do it, he'll give it to me. But that's a different schedule. You can't say, St. Paul, get out of that world. You're mingling too much with it. Well, you need the evangelist. Without the evangelist, there is no conversion. Faith cometh by hearing the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. So how? Can you, you need, all of us need one another. Without, right now what we see a lot with these most, we see the pacifism, you know, just saying don't do nothing. So that us who go out there and preach, they say, you shouldn't be doing that. It's no good. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to, for other reasons, they say. They might tend to say, this guy has no business going out there and I'm better than the evangelist. No, you're not. Paul the Hermit is no better than the evangelist. You know, now, you might be, what makes you better is your soul. That's the part God sees.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's not because you're a hermit that you're better, or because you're evangelist. You're equal. You're both needed. The hermit can say, "What is the hermit doing out there? He's doing reparation for the sins of the world, so the evangelist can go out and preach with them. Without preaching, there is nothing. It's like you got all this grace being generated by Paul the Hermit, and it ain't going nowhere because there's no evangelist to go out there and make use of that grace to preach to people. The evangelist knows how much he needs the hermit to pray so God can give the grace and open up the heart of the pagan and the heathen and the non-Catholic. And he knows how much he needs the Paul the Hermit for his own graces to be able to speak properly, because he can't pray as much or dedicate himself as much as the hermit does. But the evangelist, that's his job. His job is to go out there and to preach, and you need them both. And one should not be jealous of the other. One should not bicker the other. And one should not especially be angry if somebody comes along a little later on in his life and converts, and you see God showering him like an Augustine, mm-hmm. who took 34 years to convert, and then he became the greatest doctor in the church. You can get another guy that was born Catholic, lived a great life, real zealous, and said, how can he be God giving Augustine all these graces and blessings? I was in the church for 40 years. I was never bad. I never fornicated like Augustine. Augustine was a pig even. And now, for 30 years, okay, I'm glad. But how could God treat him higher than me? You don't know his heart. You don't know his soul. You don't know how his conversion made him so completely pleasing to God that God elevated him to such an extent. So that's a whole, you're playing God. That's why God says, what are you evil? He says to the people, why are you so evil that I do good to my servant? And who are you to read the souls of people? Who are you to know? You can have a Mary Magdalene. You can have a person who's chaste and all good their whole life, but near the end of their life because of sins of envy alone. Because of Mary Magdalene who was not chaste, who then became chaste, but always this other person who was pure her whole life doesn't see the same miracles. How come he's let Mary get so close to him, Jesus? How come she's the second closest woman to Jesus, and I've been chaste my whole life? I've never committed one sin, and I can't get that close to Jesus. Then God says, you envious. Who are you? Her heart became so pure, she's worthy of it. I forgave her sin. It's as if she never sinned in my eyes. And now you, because of your envy, will go to hell. Because of your envy. And that's the foolish virgins. The five foolish virgins. They were virgins. Knocking on the door, Lord, let us sin. He says, get away. I don't know you. Get out of here. So it's the whole thing. If you put too much emphasis on good deeds without faith, and faith without good deeds, and what does the faith mean? It means to hold a positive faith. Do not envy another spiritual good. If somebody comes in and they're really, truly Catholic, they're going to have all the virtues it takes to be Catholic, which includes, number one, humility. And then when they go out and if they start preaching, if Jerry Maddox converts, which I pray he does, put him in charge of converting the Protestants. I would be so happy that this guy can do this.
Yeah,
not envious. Where would the envy be? I would say, Lord, thank God for sending this very great helper in your vineyard who can preach very well if he's Catholic. Now he can do nothing because he's not Catholic and his motives are not right yet. But who are we to say if this guy converts and I say, Lord, we've been working all along. Jerry didn't come until later on and now you're giving him all this. The guy's good now. He loves God now. He's Catholic now. And God's given him the gifts of miracles or whatever he wants to give him. And he's going out there and converting people. What? Who does it matter who converts up? They're converting. This is that jealousy. People who play sports know this. That's why sports is such a very important lesson. St. Paul was talking about sports in today's epistle, running. They do. It is important. You know when you play on a team, you have to be unselfish. You have to be... If envy ever comes into a team, it destroys. Absolutely anybody that tell you play football, if you start... Or any sport... If envy comes in there, destroys the whole team. And it's the idea of, I don't care who gets the touchdown, let's get the touchdown and win the game for the team. And that's the same way it ought to be with Catholics. And St. Paul even says that if pagans have these natural qualities when it comes to sports to give up things and to make sacrifices, how much more should we for spiritual things? So the whole idea of what I see in here with this penny thing is the envying. Mm-hmm. You get this concept of somebody's coming in and you're going up and... Well, even the apostles a little bit had it. You know, and he said,
who's
going to
sit at the
right hand of the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, so what's it to you who sits at the right hand? What's it matter to you? Now, there's two things happening here. The mother, it was not really wrong with her asking that. She loved her sons, James and John, and the sons of thunder. She wanted, and she knew God really had a special love for them and John. She was saying, come on, my son's going to sit at your right hand. that's not so much bad for asking it, you know. But the point was, if he says, that's not for you to know.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
So, maybe not. Now, the other apostles got angry. Who are they? They're thinking they're better than us. Mm-hmm. They said, well, no, well, they were just asking. Because they thought, well, one of us is going to be closer. And who was it? So he's telling both of them, James and John, and the apostles, look, don't worry about that. And there is going to be a hierarchy, but don't become envious of one another. Whoever I determine to place up higher, as in the church, bishops and pope. You know, we have a hierarchy to be obeyed. It's my choice who I put there, but don't be envious of one another. Because the guy who's risen up higher anyway, he's got his job to do. And you all love one another with the same equal love. So, God would even be telling them, you're going to be where you belong. You're going to be what you're worthy of. But let no envy be in there. Because that's really the original sin that Lucifer committed against Mary, was envy. That's all it was. Actually, it was just envy. It was pride on his part, and when pride got into his heart, he envied and coveted the Blessed Mother. You know, and it comes down to that. You know, you can say, well, look, anybody who's in heaven, Mary's the top creature, period. She's the most loved creature God ever created, period. You're going to bow down, and you're going to honor Mary, second to God, or you don't get into heaven, period. How, not anyone's ever going to try to say, can I take Mary's place and can I be the, you know. What is this? You're not worthy of it. It's not God's way. You couldn't even handle it because you don't have her qualities. You couldn't even do what Mary could do. You can't do it because you're not made that way. You don't have the goodness that she has in her. And so there is a hierarchy. And who cares about that? Everybody knows. Everybody, like the shoemaker or the carpenter, leave him alone. He's happy. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a famous professor. I love carving this wood and making a table. I love it. The guy who loves building cars, leave him alone. He likes it. You put that guy in a position he's not made for, he ain't going to like it. I don't want to do this. Some people like chess. Some people like football. Everybody likes that, you know. So God makes everybody for a certain thing, and God does love other people in a sense more than others. He loves everybody to the full capacity of loving them. But other people are more worthy of his love. That's a better way of putting it.
They
corresponded more to his love.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the lowest creature in heaven is love, equally in the sense that as much love as he can give to God, he's given it and God gives it back to him, fills him up with his love. But the other creatures are bigger vessels holding more of that love in them. But that's the thing. There still is that hierarchy where God says, Mary's closest to me because she loved me the most. She loved me the most. And so I filled her the most with the biggest vessel of my love. Everyone else in heaven is completely filled with God's love also. Only she's the biggest vessel containing God's love, and that's it. You want to go up there and argue with God? You don't read hearts. You can't see hearts. You should just be happy that you're having a chance to partake of this great thing, to be invited to this great feast, to enjoy this great feast. And our Lord says the people that are elevated anyway, they serve those who are under them, don't they? Everyone's serving one another. God serves, even us. By placating to us and helping us, Jesus came to serve us. So one person helps the other helps you. One person goes out and cuts the wood so we can burn it, and the other person writes the sermon so we can hear it, and the other person cooks the food so we can eat it. Aren't we all serving one another? And then the guy who's supposed to be responsible to the flock, he has to be very careful that everything's run the right way so the flock stays healthy and happy. It's everyone's servant. That's what he said. Let the greatest of you be the servant to the least. So this idea comes through the scriptures of envying, which comes into this penny thing, you know, and the prodigal son. These things are related. The guy came back and said, please forgive me, I want to be right. And you're going, how could you do this to me? I was the goody two-shoes all these years. Yeah, well, now you're showing an ugly side here. You're showing something very ugly.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to question why you were a goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
Just so you can get all these goodies I'm giving you? So you can benefit for all these? What is your motive behind being good? That's where St. Paul says, all of it is for naught now. It wasn't done for true charity, which is the love of God and the love of your neighbor. If you're really a true good person, you would have said, yes, I did all this good because I love God and because I want to obey his commandments and because this is the best way for me also to live my life and to help other people. And because I have this love for God, God tells me to love my neighbor, which means I love my brother who is even living badly now, and I pray every day to God to help him, to forgive him and have mercy on him, to come back. That should have been his attitude. Mm-hmm. His attitude was, what's he doing back here? Hey, what's all this feast going on over here? He should have been ready to go out and get another bull and kill it and say, let's have two bulls and give him a feast. Mm-hmm. So now that prodigal, the elder son, if he didn't conform, he would have went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in the Song of Bernadette, the movie with that older nun. That was great too. That scene was great, you know. That nun, the nun that was real strict. And as I stay up all night, my eyes are burning. I give him those. What have you ever done to God for God to do this for you? envy.
But the Protestants, they put down a Blessed Mother, they put, they're more than her.
Oh, yes, Protestants, exactly. Protestants are saying they're more than her. They actually say Mary's just no different than any other creature. Yeah. You arrogant bastard. Yeah. And why is that an arrogant bastard? Common sense tells you that she is the one creature God chose to take on the flesh and to come into her womb and entrust himself to her out of all men. And if you can't see, that's why the first question we ever give to Protestants, number one, right down the bullseye, do you admit that Mary is the most special creature God ever created? Question number one. That's 2 plus 2 equals 4. We don't got to get into the Immaculate Conception yet or the Assumption. If they don't answer that one right, then you go, now you're of bad will. Which he would God have come into the rule of Jezebel? They'll say no. He made a choice.
Yeah.
Yes. God's perfect. Do you agree? Yes. Is he not going to choose the most perfect creature? If he says yes, then Mary's the most perfect creature. And it's what Aristotle said. They don't want, they, each Protestant really, wants to be on the throne right next to God. He wants to be the numero uno. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. God says you're not. God says you can be good, all of us, but you're not going to be better than Mary. Period. He told that to Lucifer. I'm going to come into the, take on the flesh of a human being. And this mother of mine is going to be the queen of heaven and angels. And you're going to have to bow down to Mary and hail her. And Lucifer said, how the, are you kidding me? She doesn't have all the qualities we have. She doesn't, she's not as strong or bright or intelligent or all these different qualities. How could she be greater than me? And that's where he fell. So you see this spirit, that's how you can really detect the as I always said, the devil hates Mary more than God. Because the object of Satan's fall was not God, it was Mary. He was disobeying God through Mary, because that was his command. It's almost like when we were watching the movie Solomon, and he was saying to Joab, and he says, oh, I never do wrong against you, king, never you, never you. And he says something something about bowing down. He says, well, bow down to your true king, Solomon. Okay, bow down to him. And he, did, well, he says, not him, no, not him, I will not do it to him. Mm-hmm. All right? Because in other words, because he had this envy or this covetousness. So you have God saying to Satan, you obey me? I obey you, Lord God. You're the greatest. I know. You created me. You do obey. Okay, then bow down to Mary. No, I can't do that. That I cannot do. Why can you not do that? Because I think I'm better than her. Because I think I deserve to be better than her. Probably he crept in. And he says, well, no, if you don't do that, you're disobeying me, God's saying. I told you, and I'm testing your humility. That's what he's really doing. He's showing the angels, don't get carried away with all your qualities. I gave you all these good things. I gave you a brilliant mind. I gave you joy and peace, happiness, enlightenment, everything. But don't get carried away. I gave it to you. I'm the boss. And remember that humility is number one above all things. That you would be nothing without me. That's why Michael came up and said, who's like unto God? And that's why God made Michael so great, because of his humility. And so this is what's coming through in this gospel here with the penny. The idea of envy and covetousness. You know, that would be like, Can you even picture this? A guy's on his deathbed? That would be like me saying, how dare this guy convert on his deathbed, and I was a good Catholic my whole life, and he gets to go to heaven? I hope every person in the world converts before they die, and I don't care when they do it. I just hope they do it and get to heaven, right? Who cares when it happens? You can get a guy, like you say with St. Augustine, convert on his deathbed, because God sees he has such a good heart on his conversion. And God could even see this guy has, he's one of the other sheep, for instance, our Lord talks about in John 10:16. He says, other sheep I have not of this flock. Them I must bring, and they will hear my voice. There could be people out there right now that God sees have really good souls. Mm-hmm. And they're Jews and Muslims. They're not here yet, but they will come in. They're better than a lot of the people in the church right now, even doing certain things God sees. He's looking at their heart, all of us. He's seen certain things in us we didn't even see. So he's looking at it and saying, I still see a lot of good things in this guy. Hopefully it's a David Cole and guys like this. Hopefully God's looking at them and saying, I see a lot of good things in this guy. So that when this guy converts, he's going to be worthy of like a St. Paul, or worthy to do a lot of good things. What's the question of judging God? And God says, I know hearts. I know who's worthy of what. And I know who belongs where and what they deserve and what their rewards are. Because I'm God. Just shut up and do your work and be happy that you worry about your own self. Doesn't Paul say that?
Yeah.
In here, he says, worry about, I think it was in here, he said, worry about your own self. Yeah, he says, he says, worry about how good you, don't lord it over others. Mm-hmm. You do good for your own self, because you need to do it to save your own soul, but don't, with this competition thing. You know, who's better than who, and how do you do this, and Lord, how come not me, and how come not this? You know, so I get, this is a good thing to ward off envy. Because St. Paul says several places, let there be no envying among you or covetousness. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.